Hello, beloved. Wonderful to be with you and to have the privilege of looking at God's Word, specifically with regards to spiritual warfare of believers. We are in this constant battle with regards to the difference between the lie and the truth. And I believe in the time and age that we are living in, even more so, we are seeing so many lies being propagated in the world out there. Well, and sometimes even in the church, that it's getting harder and harder to distinguish between the lie, because the deception is so, how can I say, so deceptive. It's so hidden that it's hard sometimes to know the truth. And at the end of the day, it's important for us to understand that our warfare is a kind of warfare where it's against, how can I say, it's a warfare against the lie. It's a warfare against where the lie is trying to overcome the truth and where the lie tries to prevail. Okay, so that's the major battle. It's a battle for truth. Okay, but with that being said, let's just have a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you again in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have called us, that you have saved us, and that you enable us through your Holy Spirit to be involved in this spiritual battle. And I can call it or say that I believe it's a battle. The spiritual battle is for the truth. And I pray, Father, please, as we study your word, may the truth set us free, because we know your word is the truth. We know that Christ is the truth, and we pray that we will be set free as we study your word. I pray that we will understand, take to heart, so that at the end of the day, Father, we can be instruments in your hands, even in this massive battle that's taking place in the world around us, so that we can stand firm in the faith as we face these battles in Jesus' precious name. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, I pray. And thank you once again for your word that enlightens us and that shows us what the truth is. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, now, our passage still is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We'll be finishing off, God willing, with 2 Corinthians 10 today. And then, God willing, we'll continue with something more with regards to spiritual warfare of the believer. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 reads as follows. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," so though we walk in this physical body, "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," so they're not human, how can I say, weapons that we make use of. But it says, "It's mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and high things, or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Right, so let me just summarize for a moment. I believe it's so important for us to understand and grasp this concept so that we can understand what this spiritual battle is all about, because it's so easy that we get involved in all kind of mystical stuff. And sometimes I find in spiritual warfare that there are believers who actually engage themselves in white magic instead of what the scripture teaches about the spiritual battle. I remember many years ago when I was still involved in missions, and especially when I reached out in evangelism and in music ministry, I remember how I got involved in this mystical side of spiritual warfare. And I was actually, we were countering all the things that Satan did. And we had people that could see things in the spirit, and people that could prophesy in the spirit. And they would reveal things to us that this spirit is attacking us and that one is attacking us and all these kind of things. And we would have this battle and we would bind the spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'd have this battle and we would take on the prince of Africa and the prince of South Africa and the prince of the country or the town that we're in. I mean, when we had a campaign, we would walk around the place, you know, and do the spiritual warfare, fighting in the prayer and taking on the devil. That's the way we did it. And a lot of things we did, I mean, we would anoint the place where we were ministering. We would take salt and then, you know, because we are the salt of the earth, so we would claim the soil for the Lord. We would put salt on the earth. We would bring, come with ash, and we would call the earth into submission, into humility, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was involved in those kind of things until I came back to the truth of God's word, where I was really confronted with the things that I was busy doing. And praise God for a ministry like MET that I was involved in, Mobile Evangelism Tents, where we reached out to preach the gospel, and where I was exposed to the fact that our battle, our warfare, is truth against error, truth against lies, where strongholds have been built up in the minds of people, and the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, will break those strongholds in the minds of people, and they would be set free. And when they are set free, they embrace the truth of God's word, they embrace the truth of the gospel, they embrace Christ, and they start living as new creatures in Christ, because God regenerated them. You know, it's just amazing. And that's the time that I actually came to the point where I said, you know what, I want to return completely to what the scripture teaches about spiritual warfare, and not get involved in this kind of mystical understanding of the battle that we are in. Yes, we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood. We don't fight people. When somebody comes to me and they attack me and they are upset with me and they fight me and they come with all kinds of lies and things, I know that my battle is not against that person. My battle is against the deceiver, the one who deceived that person to fall into the lies in the first place. Okay, so we understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the person that walks in error. No, we want to reach that person with the gospel. We want to reach that person with the truth so that the strongholds in that person's life can be broken down, so that at the end of the day, that person can be set free. But it's a battle between truth and error, between truth and lie. That's where the battle lies. And remember that Satan is the father of lies. So what happens is he is going to deceive people into accepting his lies. And how do you counter lies? The only way we can counter lies, beloved, is if we bring the truth of God's word. All right, so now I've gone off track. But so what I want to do is to just for a moment, let's just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We need to understand that we are all human, like the Apostle Paul. He was also fully human. And we know that these spiritual battles that we find ourselves in as believers are not fought with our flesh. It's not a physical fight. Okay? It is, the Apostle Paul also knew that he was not fighting a physical battle, even though he could experience the results of this physical battle. He could experience it in his life. Why do Christians become persecuted? It's very simple. The persecutors are, indoctrinated by other people to accept a lie. Let's say, for example, you have a community and there are believers in that community, and that community start believing that these believers are the reason, specifically in India and in Africa and many of the, you know, the places that still got this understanding of ancestral spirits and the fact that these spirits need to be pleased and that kind of thing. So you've got Christians in that community and things start going wrong. I mean, they don't have a good harvest. So the lies that go around among the non-believers is that the problem is these Christians, because they do not honor the forefathers. So what happens is this is a lie. This is a stronghold that is built up in the minds of these unbelievers. So what they do is now they start persecuting the Christians. But the persecution of the Christians are based on the lie. It's not the truth. You remember Nero when he persecuted the Christians? When Rome was burned down, he blamed it on the Christians. It was a lie. But the Christians were persecuted like you cannot believe. And why? Because it came from a lie. All right, so the only way that the persecution could stop is the lie that Nero were propagating. That lie had to be broken down. But now what happened is, because Nero was such an influential person, he could spread that lie among his subordinates. And basically what they then did was they started persecuting the Christians. In the days of Hitler, the lies that Hitler came up with regards to the Jews, that they are cockroaches, you know, that kind of thing, dehumanizing the Jews, and that he was building the super race of humans, the Aryan race. It was all based on lies. And the lies that he was propagating to his people, and the German people accepted it, and that's why it was so easy for him to persecute the Jews. And we see the Holocaust, where more than 6 million Jews were killed. It is heartbreaking, but it's based on a lie. Okay, the same thing that's happening now between Russia and the Ukraine. The attack of Russia against the Ukraine, it's not a founded war. It's based on lies, many, many lies, but that's Satan's way of working. And in fact, the Apostle Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Okay, because at the end of the day, that's the reality. We know that the people that are spreading the lies, the people that are spreading the false propaganda, the people that are how can I say, embracing the agenda of Satan, we know we're not fighting them. We are fighting the strongholds that is built up in them. And how did it get there? It came through Satan. He's the one who planted those seeds inside of them, because he's the father of lies. Okay, he cannot tell the truth. He will always twist the truth, because that's who Satan is. Okay, so it's important for us to understand that. Right? Now, the means of fighting the spiritual battle that we all face, by the way, is using spiritual weapons. Yeah? Because we are busy fighting a spiritual war. And this spiritual war is, we bring the truth of God's word, which is a spiritual weapon. It's not a physical weapon. We bring the truth of God's word to fight the lie that is built up in the minds of people. We use prayer, which is a spiritual weapon, and we pray for those people that are caught up in lies, so that those lies can be broken down in their lives. Okay? So that the strongholds that has been built up can be broken down in their lives. So in every case, we have exactly the same thing. We come with the truth. We know those weapons are not physical. They are mighty in God. They are spiritual. But we bring the truth of God's word. And we need to make sure that when we bring the truth of God's word, that we're actually bringing God's word, né? The truth of God's word. So what does it do? It pulls down strongholds. It casts down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And it is ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's what the Apostle Paul says. You see, because a stronghold is this fortress that is built up in the mind of a person. It's like this fortress on top of the mountain where the citizens would go in and find refuge or take refuge. Until the attack comes and the defeat of the city basically depends on whether this fortress is pulled down or not. Okay, so with the truth, we just continually bring the truth of the gospel, to bring the truth of God's word, and we trust God that the truth of his word is going to break down those strongholds that is built up in the minds of people, so that the whole, how can I say, the whole power of Satan over that person's mind can be broken down. All right. Now, these strongholds are normally based on false thoughts and false ideas and speculation and human reasoning and false teaching and false doctrine and false religion and human wisdom. All these things are used by Satan to get people, through his propaganda and his lies and his deception, to get people to refuse to accept the truth. So they hide themselves in these kind of things. That's what they do. Okay. So we need to understand the foundation of the spiritual battle that we are involved in. Right, so what happens as well is, when we are coming with the truth of God's word, it actually destroys everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because that's what Satan does. Satan comes to the people and says, no, wait. But God says, it's not the truth. I will give you the truth. And then he gives them the lie. It's like, for example, evolution. It is a diabolical lie that has been, how can I say, that has been produced to the world, and the world accepted it. And I mean, some of the top influential people and some of the most clever people in the world embrace evolution. But evolution is godless. Evolution's is basically the foundation of evolution is atheism. It is literally a godless world, a rejection of God. So Satan comes, he puts evolution, and he puts it against creation or creationism. So what happens in the minds of people is they are bombarded with evolution the whole day. It's just continuously in their minds, because that's the propaganda machine of the devil. Is he uses his propaganda machine, the media, the television, movies, science, and all these things. He uses it to push this lie of evolution into the minds of people. Because remember, if evolution is true, then death already existed before Adam and Eve fell into sin, or before sin came into the world. Okay, so if death already existed, according to evolution, then there is no need for a savior. You see, that's the heart. And when Satan came to Adam and Eve, he said to them, did God really say you're not allowed to eat of the trees of the field? He says, Adam says, no. We're only allowed not to eat of that one. The rest we can eat. So Satan comes to Adam and says to him, no, if you eat of that one, you will be like God. You see the lie that he comes to Adam with? You will be like God if you eat of that one that God said you should not do it. Was God speaking the truth to Adam that he would die the moment he eat of it? Yes. God was speaking the truth. That is the reality. But what did Satan do? He countered what God said with great deception. And with the deception that he came in, he deceived Adam and Eve. That's how sin came into the world. And through sin came death. All right, evolution says, no. It's survival of the fittest. Death came in first. So, beloved, we need to understand. And we need to understand that the battle that we are in is it's a battle between the truth and the lies that Satan brings. So, it is this thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It is truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And what truth does, pardon me, truth humbles a person. That's what truth does. When you gain knowledge of the word, if you gain knowledge about who God is, what happens is you get more and more humble. When you just gain knowledge, you know, worldly knowledge and the kind of knowledge that Satan is presenting to the world as the truth, and especially now in this modern world that we, postmodern world that we live in, where they are fighting truth and they say there is no such thing as ultimate truth. All truth is relative. We decide what truth is. You see, the problem is when people then get truth, that kind of truth that they then receive is, puffs them up. It makes them full of pride. Where God's truth humbles a person, because we realize how small we are. We realize how sinful we are. We realize how tiny and weak we are in comparison to the God that we, the God, the creator of the universe that we are called on to worship, that we are created to worship. You see, beloved, when man is exalted, then it actually means that there is no knowledge of God. Because if there's knowledge of God, man will not be exalted. God will be exalted. And when God is exalted, man is normally broken down. Okay? It's so important for us to understand. When there is knowledge of God, mankind becomes humble. People become very, very humble. Okay. Now, the weapons that are used against us tries to, how can I say, to take us into captivity. But the weapons that we use, the truth of God's word, the gospel, prayer, the weapons that we use, these spiritual weapons that we use, basically causes the thoughts, these false thoughts that people have in their minds, it brings those thoughts into captivity, to obedience of Christ. Oh, beloved, that's amazing when that happens. It's amazing to see when somebody, when that fortress is broken down in the person's mind, when that stronghold is just destroyed in the person's mind, that person becomes obedient to the truth of God's word. You can just see that person is set free from the slavery of sin, the slavery of lies, the slavery of deception, the slavery of bondage. But obviously we become slaves of truth, but that's a good kind of slave to be. Is to be a slave of truth. Oh, beloved, it's so important for us to understand. Remember, at the end of the day, in the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul's heart was that this large group of people that were disobedient to the truth of God's word, that the strongholds in their minds would be broken down, that they would return to the truth. And when the large group of people in Corinthians then become followers of the truth, where they are set free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of lies. If they are set free, then what would happen is this majority, this bigger group of people that are obedient to the truth, can then start with the process of discipline and then help this smaller group of people that were still embracing the lies to get them to the point where they would repent before God, embrace the truth, and also be set free to start speaking the truth in love. That's basically, at the end of the day, what God, what the Apostle Paul wanted to establish in the Corinthian church, or what he wanted to say about the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where he says, "And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So that the Corinthian church, the moment they become obedient to the truth of God's word, that they would be ready to punish every single thing that was disobedient to the truth of God's word. Oh, beloved, may God enable us to use the weapons of our warfare, which is the truth, to fight the lies, which are basically the weapons that Satan uses in his kingdom. And those who are not saved, the weapons that they use to fight the truth. May we conquer in this battle that we are in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. May the truth of your word find its place in our hearts to such an extent that we will be able to take the truth, apply the truth in all situations, circumstances, so that the truth will set people free. Oh, Father, thank you so much that we have your truth. And help us, Father, I pray, enable us to study it every single day and become stronger and stronger in understanding your truth and having and using these spiritual weapons in this battle that we are in. Thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And thank you that we can be in this war and fight this war and be victorious in this war because we have the truth on our side. Thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. Sorry, a lot of foundation work, but it's important, I believe, so that we can understand as we continue to speak about who are we fighting against, that we understand what the battle is actually all about. So God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, thank you for watching. Bye-bye.